Praise God. I'm so excited to have the privilege of sharing at this year's great event. Thank you guys for inviting me. I want to especially appreciate the General Overseer, Pastor E.A. Adeboye. I want to appreciate my friend, Pastor Leke Adeboye, to have and for all the leadership of the Pastor Seeds ministry for having me be here and share with pastors' children. I'm very passionate about pastors' children. In fact, some of you know I hosted a program online where I interviewed some of the pastors from the children of some of the big men of God in our nation, the notable servants of God in our nation. I'm passionate about pastor seeds, and I'm honored today to be able to share with you on the reality of sexual addiction. All right, many people don't know how powerful sex is. Sex is very powerful. And God made it that way for a reason. God made it that way for a reason. But sex is one of the most powerful things that are here on this earth. We don't give as much respect as we should give to the seriousness of sex as we do. In fact, the devil is constantly minimizing the impact of sex. That is one of his strategies. He's minimizing the impact of sex. I know that this year, the pandemic, millions of people probably have lost their lives. But it is nothing compared to how many people sex kills every year. I'll give you the data as we go. So sex is very powerful. Satan is constantly minimizing how powerful sex is. But please don't ever fall for that trap. For you, you need to understand this from now. The younger you are, the better. Sex is very, very powerful. It's as powerful as cocaine and drugs, and it can become that addictive. In fact, scientifically speaking, they have found out that the same chemicals that are released when people take drugs, like cocaine and coke, is part of the same chemicals that are released when people have sex. So this is why some people are addicted to cocaine, some people are addicted to sex. The high it gives is almost very similar. The endorphins and oxytocins and chemicals that flow, you know, in a person's brain is similar whether you're having cocaine or you're having, you know, sex. So it is very, very powerful. Let me just read the text scripture, you know, that we'll build on for the rest of this teaching. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, popular scripture, I know, but I'm reading it from the Message translation because it was very graphic. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, from verse 16 to 20. I'll just read here from my own Bible here. He said, there's more to sex than mere skin to skin. Did you see this? He said, there's more to sex than mere skin to skin. It says, sex is as much spiritual mystery as physical fact. He says, it's as much spiritual mystery as physical. Many people just think it was just physical. No, it's not just physical. He said, it's also a spiritual mystery. It says, as is written in scripture, the two become one. Since we want to become spiritually one with the Master, we must not pursue the kind of sex that avoids commitment and intimacy. He said, leaving us more lonely than ever. He said, the kind of sex that can never become one. He said, there is a sense in which sexual sins are different from all other sins. He says, in sexual sin, we violate the sacredness of our own bodies. He said, these bodies that were made for God-given and God-modeled love, for becoming one with another. He said, or didn't you realize that your body is a sacred place? He said, the place of the Holy Spirit. He said, don't you see that you can't live however you please, squandering what God had paid such a high price for? He said, the physical part of you is not some piece of property belonging to the spiritual part of you. He said, God owns the whole works. He says, so let people see God in and through your body. That is so powerful. I wish I could read this again. It's so, so, so powerful. All right. So they were laying the foundation here that sex is such a powerful thing. It's such a powerful thing. It joins two people together. That is the purpose for sex. It's supposed to be so high that when two people have it together, they become joined. They become joined physically, they become joined emotionally, and they become joined spiritually. Now, if you know the purpose for sex, then it should be easier for you to understand why you can't just have sex with anybody. All right? Sex should only be on the condition of that permanent commitment, which is marriage. Any other thing outside of that, you are misusing sex. You are abusing sex, and the addiction that comes from it is so powerful. You see, it was created to make you addicted to the person you marry. Alright? It was created to make you addicted and joined to the person you marry. So when you're having it with someone else, the day you will still eventually marry, you'll find out you're struggling with the attachments that you've had with other people. Sex is powerful. I preached a message, it's on my YouTube channel, it's titled Seven Sex Lies. There are about seven lies that Satan tells young people about sex. I'm not going to be able to go through all of them. I'll just mention like two or three before I go into sexual addiction proper. There are about seven sex lies that Satan tells young people. The first one he tells them is that, oh, there's nothing to sex, that nobody gets hot. Nobody's going to be hot. You know, nobody's going to be hot when we have sex. That's not true. Sex hurts people. Sex is harmful when it's being had outside of the safety of marriage. It will cost you. It will harm you. Sex is harming people. I was speaking earlier about the amount of people that have died because of coronavirus. You know, the whole world is screaming about the amount of people that have died. In America, over 200,000 people have died in America alone this year because of COVID-19 pandemic. Over 200,000. And that's a very large number. And they're making noise about it on their news. However, over 1 million people die every day because of sex. In fact, let me say this way, because it's more than 1 million. But abortions alone is responsible for 1 million deaths. Abortions. I'm not counting HIV and other sexually related deaths. I'm talking about abortions alone in America. It's over 1 million every year. Compare that to the 200,000 of COVID. And this 200,000 is just 1 year. Abortions has been every year. As a matter of fact, they did a research and found out that from sometime in 1975 or thereabout to about 2017 or so, America aborted about 40 million babies. This is not globally, this is just America alone. They aborted about 40 million babies. The whole of Ghana is 32 million. So I usually joke and say that America aborted Ghana and left change. The whole of Ghana is about 32 million. And America did 40 million abortions in that space of that year. So literally they have aborted a country, full country plus the president. It's over again. And you say nobody's hot, people are getting hot. Don't listen to the devil. People are getting hot. You know, sexual immorality has far-reaching consequences that nobody will tell you about. Nobody will tell you about. All right? Very, very important. So people are getting hot. So abortion is just one of them. There's also the issue of the habits that are being formed. The addictions that are being formed. Every drug addict today started by one experience. Nobody was born a drug addict. They started by one experience, one sip, one taste, and they couldn't stop. And that is what happens in sex. You might just do it once and find out you can't stop doing it. I tell people that all the time. You might do it once and find out you can't stop doing it. And if anybody's pressuring to have sex, please remember that it can take you one day to cross the line, but you remember you can never cross it back. So please, very important. All right, it is hurting people. All right. I've seen people that are married and are still attached or addicted to their ex. People that are married. All right. I mean, I had a story of somebody that was still sending a message to her ex. Wedding night. This is not wedding night. She was still sending a message to her ex that I miss you. He's not like you. Something like that. Wedding night. Because their addictions and their attachments are not easily broken when you started. So it costs you, okay? I mean, it hurts people. Number two, it costs you. It's costly. People say, but it doesn't cost anything. You know, it costs you. Ask Samson. Samson could not realize his dreams because of sex. Because of a woman. He couldn't realize his dreams. Ask David. Ask Solomon. There are many people that has cost them their destinies because they couldn't keep themselves. There's a story I normally like to share. One of the biggest, the CEO of the biggest fast food chain in the world this one of the former CEOs of the biggest fast food chain. I don't want to mention the name of the company, but it's the biggest fast food chain in the whole world. The former CEO. I mean, when you're the CEO of that kind of company, you know how big you are. Global company. They have fast food restaurants all over the world. The global CEO, his income was close to $3 million every month. This is not a year, every month. The things that come to him, close to $3 million every month. Don't put that in naira, it will annoy you. Leave it in dollars. In naira, that will be, over $1 billion or something. When your salary is over ₦1 billion every month, can you imagine what that is? Can you imagine what that is? You know how the guy lost the job? He didn't even do the job for more than maybe a year plus, very short. He lost the job because he had sex with the staff. They were both adults. They were both single because he was divorced, I think. So she was single. So it wasn't adultery. They were both single. Just that the office policy states that a senior staff cannot have a sexual relation with a junior staff. That's why he lost this job. You see, that's how powerful sex can be when it has no control. Do you think that man wanted to lose his job? He didn't plan to lose that kind of a great job. I mean, when you get home, what will you tell your family that made you lose that kind of job? That you had sex. I mean, the girl could have resigned and they were going to have sex that afternoon. But at the time, you're not even thinking because he had enough money to pay her salary, whatever her salary was, any $3 million. But you see, sex doesn't tell you that when it takes over your mind, you will do stupid things that you will regret. All right, you need to understand that it's very expensive. And last of the seven lies, I told you there are seven, but I can't go into all of them. Last of seven lies is that the devil tells you everybody's doing it. Everybody is having sex. That is okay to do it. It's a lie. Even when you find out that people you know are doing it, you find out, oh, this man of God or this person, that person, it doesn't mean that everybody is doing it. There are still many people living the life and keeping themselves, and God is honoring them and honoring, the grace of God upon their life. It's a lie of the devil. As a pastor, I've wedded more virgins than non-virgins. And I say that all the time. I've wedded more virgins than non-virgins. So it's not everybody that are doing it. There are many people all over the world, adults, that are still keeping their bodies. There was one time last year, I think, I canceled two different couples in the same course of the marriage canceling, and the four of them were virgins. The four, that means husband, wife, were virgins. And they were people above 30. They were not children. But they had kept themselves all these years, through university, through life. So there are many people keeping themselves. And somebody's asking, but Pastor, how do you know they're virgins? Because most of the time, even after the wedding, we're still counseling them on how to do it, if you know what I mean. All right, so a lot of them are like that. So it's not everybody that is doing it, okay? It's not everybody that is doing it. Don't let the devil deceive you. It's a lie of the devil. Sex is powerful. Sex can hurt you. When everyone talking about things like HIV and all that, I can never forget one day, one guy called me out of the blues. He said, Pastor, I'm HIV positive. I said, how do you know? He said, he has done a test. I said, have you done another test to confirm it? He said, yes, he has done two tests and it's positive. And he said, he knew when he contacted it. I said, how do you know? He said, he had been celibate for years. For years and years, he has kept himself. But sometime a year before he was calling me, in fact, like 2 or 3 months or whatever, he was calling me that he had sex with somebody just once. And that was it. Just once. And that was it. He was able to confirm that the girl told him that she knew she was positive, but she was spreading it. You understand? Just once. So don't let any devil tell you that sex is not costly. It's too costly. You can't afford it. You can't afford it. All right? That destroyed many kings. That destroyed presidents. It has removed presidents of the strongest nations. Sex has made them impeached. So you don't want to play with it. You don't want to touch it. It's highly addictive. It can destroy. It can destroy. Hallelujah. It can destroy. So sex is powerful. It costs you. And it is meant to bond two people. So you can't have it without marriage. All right? So now let's talk a bit about addictions. It's not common. Many people don't know that the sexual addiction is actually a thing. There are a lot of people that are addicted to sex. When you're addicted to sex, it means that you literally have no control over your sexual desire. There are many people like that. And it can be male and female. All right? It can be male and female. But you're dealing with a strong compulsion to continue to have sex. It doesn't even matter who you're having it with. It doesn't matter where you're having it. You just need to have it. You can't say no. You can't resist. It's actually a thing. It does exist. There's sexual addiction. And by God's power, it can be broken. and you need to break it, because you will never be your best. You will never go as far as you should go if you don't deal with it. All right. So the first point is for you to diagnose if you are sexually addicted. So do you have an unusual urge for sex? Do you have an uncontrollable desire for sex? Do you constantly have sex, you know, with people that you don't know, you don't care about, you don't know from anywhere, you just want to continue having sex? All right. If you're dealing with such a thing, there's a high chance you have sexual addiction. Next step is for us to start working towards breaking it. All right. Sexual addiction, even though it's powerful, it can be broken. It can be broken. So what are some of the steps I would advise? Number one, in dealing with sexual addiction, number one, you need to find out what triggers it. What is feeding that lifestyle? There's something that feeds it and triggers it. You need to identify what it is. Something is feeding it and triggering it. Is it the kind of content you are consuming? Are you consuming certain kind of content? Are you watching certain kind of movies? Are you listening to certain kind of music? Are you hanging out with certain kinds of friends? You need to find out if you're hanging with friends that every time the discussion is sexual in nature. And I don't even mean opposite sex. It might be people of same sex, but every time the content of the discussion is just heavily sexual, you need to break those relationships. What is feeding or triggering that desire? Is it when you are stressed? Does stress trigger it? Does overeating trigger it? Does sleeping late trigger it? You need to find out what triggers it. Is it what you are consuming? I've seen people that have had to cut off television altogether because of it triggers them. I canceled somebody many years ago. It was a lady, and her own case was that she had an addiction to masturbation. She had a habit of masturbation. And she was like, oh, she's dealing with this habit. And the first question I asked her is, how did this start? How did this start? And she said, oh, she was reading sexually suggestive novels as a teenager. Heavily sexually suggestive novels. And I asked her, have you stopped reading them? She said, no, she still reads them. I said, then it can't stop. The habit can stop, because whatever the thing that was feeding it is still feeding it. You are still feeding that habit. You need to stop reading those things. All right. So number one, find out what is triggering the habit and stop them. All right. Stop whatever it is feeding and triggering that habit. Number two, you need to get accountability into your life. So you need to open up. Let someone close to you that you can trust, that loves you and that you love, know about the fact that you're struggling with this habit. You see, there's so much power in sharing. The Bible says in James chapter 5, it said, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another so that you'll be healed. All right, say, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another. So you need to, you know, open up to someone. Someone close to you that you can trust, all right? Someone that is discreet and wise. Somebody needs to know. Accountability will help you. We all do better when we have accountability. And God created us in a family for that reason. God created us in a spiritual family so that we can strengthen one another. He said, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another. So it's important. The fact that you are exposing that habit already decreases the power. Sin thrives in secrecy. Sin thrives in secrecy. So if you're going to break that addiction, then you need to let other people know. That way they can watch out for you, they can protect you, they can help you. All right? So please, share. Share with someone. Be accountable to someone. Let someone know, you know, that you're dealing with this thing. And that way they can keep an eye on you, they can check on you. Accountability is so powerful. So powerful. It has the power to break, you know, certain lifestyles within us. And number three, as I start to round up, number three, you know, develop better habits. All right. Most times when you have a very strong habit, negative habit, you need to replace it with a positive habit. All right. You can't leave the vacuum. You can't just remove the bad habit and leave the space empty. Jesus himself said that when you drive out a demon and you sweep everywhere, garnish, that demon will go around and look for seven more wicked spirits and come back, and the problem will be bigger than when you started. So in other words, every time you clean your life, push out spirits or push out habits, you must replace them with positive ones. So start building positive habits. All right, start building positive habits. So all the time you normally spend thinking and focusing on sexual content, start to think and focus on other positive things, all right? Start to think and focus on other positive. So you can start a hobby, you can learn a new game, you can learn a new skill, you can do an online course. I mean, use that whole, because sexual energy is energy. You can actually convert it into something else that will propel you to success in other areas of your life. So can you start a new course? Can you start a new hobby? Can you join a new unit in church? Or start serving in different capacity? Become somebody's PA? Travel along with somebody to preach? Do whatever it is, you know. Replace the negative lifestyle and habit with a positive one. Very important. All right. You need good habits to win over bad habits. You need good habits to overcome bad habits. So transform it. Convert it. Then lastly, number four. Let God help you. Let God help you. See, you can't really win over habits without the help of God. We are nothing without God's help. So you need to bring in God into your life. So make sure that your prayer life is on course. Make sure that your study life is going fine, and make sure that you are participating in church. All right, very important. Make sure you spend time in prayer, because you see, prayer and studying the word is like having a bath every day. That's what keeps you fresh. They call the Bible the water of the word. It's a washing with the water of the word. All right, so you must have a life of devotion. You can't miss that. Like I said, this is also something you need to put on the basis of accountability. Let somebody pray with you, or let somebody be accountable to somebody about your daily prayer life, so that they can check in with you. If you can build that kind of prayer life, I believe with these four things, you know, the habit and that the addiction will be broken over you in the name of Jesus. I would like to pray with you as we round up. Father, in the name of Jesus, I speak over all the pastor's seats that are here today watching. I decree in the name of Jesus, these ones will glorify your name. They will live a life that will honor you, that will honor the grace of God upon their lives in the name of Jesus. They will even exceed wherever their parents have gotten to in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray for anyone dealing with any kind of sexual habit or sexual addiction, I decree today, let it be broken in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray that you would help them, you supply the help of the Spirit, that they will grow in strength and in grace, and every yoke of addiction will be broken in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, because they walk in liberty from today, in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen and amen. Thank you. God bless you. I look forward to seeing you soon physically. God bless you. The Lord.